FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's November 1st, 2017. We actually made it through September and November without a crash. How did that happen? I wonder. Hey, first couple of housekeeping matters. The RSS feed, which had stopped feeding due to an event that I totally didn't understand, we've managed to fix it so your shows will automatically download every time we post a new episode. All you got to do is go over to the iTunes store and then type in the search box, Financial Survival Network or Kerry Lutz. And then when it comes up, you click subscribe, automatically gets downloaded to your iTunes program. If you don't have the iTunes program, just Google iTunes download program and you can easily get it. Hey, as always, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds at Kerry Lutz. And Andrew Hoffman is with us now. Andy, we're like seeing more records in Bitcoin. What could be going on here?
Well, there's so many things going on here. And, you know, I'll start by talking about one of the most ironic things ever. I say ironic and telling, because who has attacked gold more than anyone in history? Goldman Sachs. I've spent how many years now watching Goldman Sachs denigrate gold, attack gold, short gold, do everything they can to keep it down. And the reason being that it's the main competitor to the regime that they succeed under. I mean, they are essentially a part of the global government. They've installed their people everywhere, and they are front and center in every nefarious scheme to take money from the 99%. And put it in their hands. So I'm seeing now all these articles coming out where they're asking Goldman what they think about Bitcoins. Everyone has to do it. And they keep saying now that gold is the superior asset. They say that Bitcoin is just a flash in the pan. It has no history in as a safe haven asset. It's brand new. And I'm going, that's exactly what I wrote last year. I mean, you know, my two signature articles when I was at Miles Franklin about Bitcoin, I wrote the first one in May of 2016. It was called Precious Metals and Bitcoin, Twin Destroyers of the Fiat Regime, although I would reverse the order of that. And the second one was Why Bitcoin Will Make Gold and Silver Go Up. And in it, I said that once governments rapidly realize that Bitcoin is the bigger threat, they're going to stop worrying about gold and eventually suppressing it and worry about, you know, flailing like Don Quixote at windmills at Bitcoin. And sure enough, you got Jamie Dimon. He can't shut up about how it's a fraud. And, you know, the Chinese government's banning exchanges. And now you have Goldman Sachs writing reports saying that you should own gold because Bitcoin is not a safe haven. I'm saying this is exactly what I said would happen. It's just happening so much faster than even I could have imagined.
It's so funny to think that they're worried about little lowly Bitcoin, and yet that's the tail wagging the dog at this point, isn't it?
Well, Bitcoin is rapidly becoming the dog, and gold is becoming the tail. That's what I said. I said gold is going to be the tail. That's the beauty of it for all the people in the gold community who spent all these years hoping for something bad to happen so the world would collapse and gold would go up, in which case, of course, you probably wouldn't get to enjoy it. You know, the government would come down on it. You know, I'd say they try. It doesn't mean they'd succeed in getting it from you, but they'd confiscate a windfall profit tax, it villainize, you know, expropriate, you know, national minds, all that kind of stuff. And I'm saying, and I have been saying, that it's going to now just be a passive storage value asset, that governments aren't going to care about it. Governments are going to be powerless to hold it down, by the way, because they've so destroyed the mining industry that now production is in free fall. I mean, we're below mining costs right now. Even the mainstream recognizes that gold production will fall 20% in the next decade, and silver probably the same. And it's gotten to the point where they don't care. It's like when I see like gold held down, like today or any day, I say to myself, well, yeah, they still think they got to keep doing this because, yeah, I guess if they let go of the pedal right now and, you know, just shot up to like 1500, it would get some attention. But, you know, 1500 is nothing. I think that they're just kind of winding down this operation of suppressing gold and ramping up their thought of how we're going to respond to Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin is a thousand times more powerful than any financial technology they've ever dealt with, including their algorithms and derivatives that they've used to control the system. And it's a thousand times more powerful in changing the status quo than gold could ever be, especially, you know, in the digital age. So I think the transition that's going on right now is the world doing exactly what I said it would do. I said there would be a monetary death cross where fiat is usurped by crypto, and it's starting to happen right now. I mean, and I think a year from now, remember, we had SegWit just got activated 2 months ago. So a year from now, the technological innovation in Bitcoin is going to be so dramatic, people won't even recognize where we were today. And then, of course, the second reason why Bitcoin is going up is because, just like Goldman Sachs is legitimizing it by feeling the need to write about how you should stay away from it, and I see Jim Rickards is doing it, and because it's contrary to, you know, his business, and the same with Peter Schiff. Everyone's out there attacking it. But not only are the businesses out there attacking, now you have Wall Street has come on board. They announced just yesterday the CME, you know, which runs the COMEX and all the other exchanges. It's the biggest commodity trader in the world, or exchange, is going to have Bitcoin futures starting sometime this quarter. That's a 100% validation of something that Wall Street has pretended didn't exist, and to this day, Jamie Dimon calls a fraud. So this is a major, major event, and I've been saying it. Anyone who's reading CryptoGoldCentral.com, my website, I've been saying the Wall Street money is going to come in 2018 like we've never seen before, like the .com times, you know, X multiple. It's going to be bigger than anything we've ever seen. I've written about the wall of institutional money that's heading to Wall Street, that's heading to crypto. And between this futures contract and all the ETFs that are going to get approved this year, I mean, we're talking about money like this hasn't been spent on a sector since like the peak of the dot-com boom. Except, as I've been saying also, you know, people say, well, it's like the dot-com bubble Bitcoin. No, the dot-coms are the equivalent of, let's say, altcoins or ICOs. They're derivatives. So when the dot-com bubble burst in 2000, it wasn't the core concept of the internet that was bursting. That was going on stronger than ever and got bigger and bigger. It was just a lot of these overhyped speculative derivatives that crashed. And we're seeing it right now. The altcoins, the ICOs are just weakening against Bitcoin. And, the issue is not a bubble in Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's adoption is rising as fast as its price. Very exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, just to see it happening before our very eyes, you think about it, Andy, we're not that far apart in age. Look how much we have seen occur in our brief lifespans. Technology, upheaval of the existing status quo, complete loss of faith in government, not to mention, you know, travel, the world becoming so much smaller, all these movements that have come apace during our lifetime. You know, there's never been a more exciting time to be alive here, Andy.
Yeah, it's those growth curves in technology. And you know, I refer to crypto versus fiat as Star Trek versus Flintstonian. And, you know, it took how many centuries, at least in fictional time, for us to get from Flintstones to Star Trek? Well, we're going, at least in the monetary system and many other things, as you're talking about, we're going from Flintstones to Star Trek in one generation or two generations. Yeah. And there's really nothing like anything we've ever seen before.
No, it's like nothing we have ever seen in our lives. It's just incredible. When you wake up every day, Andy, you don't know what's going to happen. You have ideas, of course, but you really, really don't know what is going to happen from day to day. And the mystery of it, I mean, look, we have bad things happening, like yesterday, the terror attack down in Lower Manhattan. And this is just the logical outcome of what governments have done to the people of the world and setting them off against each other, all these things dividing, and the impact of the waning power of religion upon humanity. I think these are all symptoms of something else that's happening here.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot less need for hope and a lot more reasons for optimism as we move forward. The problem is that at this current snapshot in time, most of that optimism has been funneled to the upper 1% by these horrible policies that have created a financial mess that has to be fixed before we can move forward. The beauty of it is, though, that because of one new technology, Bitcoin, we actually have this optimism is going to spread virally. I mean, look, this is someone, not that I was ever a doom and gloomer. I never was. I was always a pragmatist. But I do, I've always worried that, you know, before Bitcoin, look, we're going to have this, you know, we're going to have the fiat crash, at least, you know, we're going to see dramatic inflation, even if it doesn't turn into the worst case scenario. And as a result, all this debt that's built up has to just keep getting larger and larger, and it's going to have to get paid some way or other, whether it's through inflation or default. That's inevitable. That's still inevitable. But I was always worried that, you know, after we get through that, what's next? You know, we're not going to have a gold standard. I've said that for years. It's the most ridiculous concept ever. Gold standards really have never worked because gold is always confiscated. It's always stolen by the governments. They always abuse it, just like they abuse fiat currency. But now that we have this, I say, well, that's the future. And not only is it a future, but it's a near-term future. And it's one where everyone can participate. And it's one where it's going to make the 99% be able to take back from the 1%. It's a decentralized world. That's the future of everything. We talk up here. We talk about decentralization, for instance, of education. It's just yet another thing. People are going to be self-empowering in every aspect of life, and Bitcoin is going to be the root of it. So, you know, for people mocking the concept, it would be like mocking the impact of the internet. I'm telling you, people, there's been two major technological advancements of, I don't know, since the invention of the car. I mean, I'm not even sure what else to equate to it that are changing the world. It's the internet and it's Bitcoin. Well, and you fire. Could say, well, it's blockchain, but no, it's the Bitcoin blockchain.
You could go back to fire. There have been these transformative technologies, Andy, throughout history.
Electricity.
I was going to say electricity and splitting the atom. There are things that after man encounters it, after its impact is felt, humanity is never the same. I would argue flight on airplanes is up there. The concept of interplanetary travel is up there. And I put Bitcoin, the blockchain, up there with it as well, because putting aside the monetary uses for it, which are vast, there's the ability to open up the entire economic system to transparency and to integrity and honesty. I think it's got the ability to do what no attorney general of any country or world power can do, and that is shine sunlight into some very seamy and distressing behavior, particularly in the financial markets, Andy. I mean, it's really got the ability. Hey, who knows how many shares get traded and how many get lost? If you listen to certain people we know, they say 100 million shares a day get misrecorded in the trading system the way it is now. The blockchain can get rid of that and really bring honesty and integrity back to a lot of man's dealings with men.
And the beauty of it is it gives not only transparency, but I guess enigmatically or paradoxically, privacy as well. It adds privacy and transparency because you won't have to have third parties monitoring everything you do. And of course, the things that they are doing, you'll now be able to understand more clearly. Like people ask me now, I get all these emails, and again, some people don't understand that I don't work for Miles Franklin anymore. I'm not just here to just answer all your questions. I would like, you know, I do consultations now. I write a blog for just $225 a year. I am literally posting 10 articles per day. And I do consultations, okay? But so when you say, when people say, well, what is the impact of this new CME Bitcoin futures contract? Are they just going to be able to naked short it, you know, the way that they naked short gold? And I'm sure that a lot of people listening right now, that's like the number one question on their mind. And the answer to that question is no, they are not going to be able to do that. It's going, if they even try, it'll be yet another Don Quixote flailing at windmills trying to stop Bitcoin. Because for one, because of the transparency of the blockchain, all the Bitcoin is accounted for. You're not going to be able to just pretend all this Bitcoin exists that doesn't exist. That's one part of it. Two, the other reason that the gold suppression has worked so well is because it's a system that has been developed over 50 or 60 years of collusion among the central banks, of pretending that they all have all these bit reserves. You know, the U.S. has 8,133 tons, all that kind of stuff. And so there's always kind of this opaqueness and this belief, you know, like what's his face, Steve Mnuchin. the other last month, he goes to Fort Knox and writes a tweet. Well, it's good that the gold's all here. Oh, good, good. I'm glad that you say that it's all there. Let me see an audit of it. And even if there was an audit, it wouldn't matter because that gold doesn't necessarily mean it's owned by us. We know about the leasing and the swapping and the other ways, the deep storage gold. So again, this is a well-developed system over years. I mean, remember that we found those cables that came out in 1974. WikiLeaks found them, where it was like between the U.S. and British government saying, yeah, we're going to create the COMEX. It literally went online like a day before gold was legalized to be owned by the people in like the end of 1974. And we're going to create this so that it creates all this volatility and discourages hoarding. I mean, they're like telling you this is what they're doing. And this has been developed for many decades. And it works well, especially in the modern world. They got all this other fintech, which enables the Dow to go up literally every day. I mean, you've never seen valuations like this. They have no semblance to reality. There's no volatility. There's no reaction to any news of any kind. Because they've created this fintech and they thought that they can control the world. That, hey, we can keep paper gold down even though the supply of physical is getting tight. We can make the stock market go up no matter what. We can keep interest rates low no matter how much inflation there is and debt, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is that they just came across a more powerful technology. That technology was born, the Bitcoin blockchain, was born as a result of what they did. It's not a coincidence that, and in fact, yesterday was Halloween. Halloween 2008 was the day that Satoshi's white paper came out 9 years ago in response to the financial crisis and all these things that were done to it. And again, this is like a cannon going up against a pea shooter. And that's why the powers that be, they're all scared and they're saying, oh, gold is better than Bitcoin, because they don't realize what they're up against. The Chinese say, we're banning Bitcoin. Jamie Dimon that same week says Bitcoin's a fraud. That was when it was 4,000. It's gone up like 60% since. They laugh at Jamie Dimon. They laugh at the Chinese government. They laugh at Jim Rickards. They laugh at anyone who tries to disparage the biggest trend that we've ever seen. I can't believe anyone with a monetary background could possibly, okay, a couple of years ago when you weren't sure, even a year or two ago, before we were sure of the immutability of the blockchain, we were scared of hard forks and what they can do. But now to look at this and say that it's not working, I've never seen anything in my 30-year career like this, aside from the internet itself.
It's the real deal. It's definitely remarkable. I was reading an article about somebody who lost their PIN number and they're out $30,000. You know, Andy, that's a big factor. A lot of the Bitcoins out there have been lost, or access to them, ownership of them have been lost. What's going to happen with that? How do you get them back? Or are they just gone forever?
Well, they are gone forever. But this is exactly the point of why Bitcoin is so great. It forces people to not be dependent on others, especially when those others are the people that have hurt you, depending on the banks, depending on the government for things. The government and the banks are what have destroyed us. This is what enables us to avoid the government and the banks. And all you have to do is just use a modicum of common sense. I mean, learning, putting a deposit in an ATM, which my wife still won't do. It's not rocket science, or the internet itself. Everyone says, well, I don't understand the internet. Well, you know how it works though, right? You don't have to understand the complexity of Bitcoin to know how to use it. I've done tons and tons of transactions. It's super simple. I mean, but all you have to do is be careful. In the earlier days, I think they estimate 2 to 4 million of the 16 million that are outstanding have been lost permanently, but mostly because those were early days when the technology was not understood, when you didn't have wallets and you didn't have the same kind of security that you have now. It's evolved. So you do it. It couldn't be easier to use, and it's an empowerment. That's the whole thing. Bitcoin empowers people to take care of themselves and be self-reliant. I've been writing about how, for the last two decades, all, you know, the best and the brightest, they all want to be stockbrokers and real estate brokers because that's where the money is. But, you know, that's unskilled labor. I mean, you could be a moron and be a good stockbroker or a real estate broker in a good market. But you can't be a moron to be a software engineer. And that's where that's where the future is going to be, in software engineering. And it's going to be a net benefit for society. Everything about what this brings, it takes away the leeching off society. It takes away the government stealing from the 99%. It makes people go back to the roots. I mean, what made America great? We came over from Britain to escape all this, and we were self-reliant and built the greatest country in the world until we destroyed it by doing exactly what Britain did in the first place.
Yeah, funny how that works, eh?
Yeah.
History.
That's history. That's what always happens.
It keeps repeating itself, or it keeps rhyming away, as Mark Twain would say, right?
And that reminds me, because I want to get the last point in, which is not related. It's not specifically about Bitcoin, but you know, I'm sitting there looking today at everything and go, yes, of course, Bitcoin's rising for its own factors. But you know, when you take it out of the vacuum, you realize, look, Bitcoin came around because of monetary destruction, fiat inflation, and now everything is inflating. I mean, look, you know, things are bad. There's still a horrible imbalance in the world because of all the debt that's been built up because of all this fiat currency. You know, it started in 2008, and the only reason it hasn't completely imploded is because they developed this financial technology, which enables stock markets to go up every day, no matter what, despite all the debt that's exploding and gold to be held down. But the fact is that those imbalances are starting to be overcome price-wise by the monetary inflation. I mean, look, the Fed's going to meet in a couple hours. They're going to again keep rates at 1%. They're going to again do nothing about inflation. The ECB and the Bank of Japan just met last week, did nothing, kept their QE, kept their negative interest rates. And meanwhile, you know, we've talked about how certain things are going up. I mean, look, health insurance goes up because of Obamacare, but, you know, now the inflation is seeping into everything. Okay. Some of it is due to government policies. The reason insurance goes up for everything, not just health, is because the government has held down interest rates. So the insurance companies can't make money on their bond investments. So they have to raise rates.
Right.
But now you're seeing it everywhere. You're looking at oil prices that are starting to go up a lot. Base metals are going up a lot. Even gold, they can't keep it down no matter, you know, how good they say things are going. And of course, Bitcoin and real estate, an all-time high everywhere. I mean, we're talking about major, major inflation is starting to seep into the economy at a time where debt is exploding and the real GDP is at best zero.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, for sure. If we're lucky, it's zero, but in all likelihood, it's far worse than that, right?
Well, we know it is. I mean, again, they don't even include. Well, they do supposedly include housing in the inflation numbers, but they do owner's equivalent rent, which is like some ridiculous thing to avoid the fact that rents are at an all time high and housing prices are at an all time high. But they don't seem to incorporate that into what they consider inflation. And the same goes for just about anything in life right now that matters. The need versus want. Some of the want versus need things too. And when I start to see oil, which is like hopelessly oversupplied, start to go up, and base metals, I start to think, you know what? I see that inflation is now starting to seep into the system. And again, when you think about the things that are going up, it's still not helping the 99% because the jobs still stink. But, you know, when you see commodities going up, that hurts people because it causes companies to raise prices. And of course, when stock markets go up, most people aren't in the stock market anymore. And most people, a lot of people don't have homes, or if they do, they have giant mortgages. So, you know, it's a lot of inflation in the system. And that is only going to fuel the monetary death cross as people, I mean, people won't even realize 12 months from now, I guarantee you, the amount of attention that Bitcoin will have and cryptocurrency in general compared to, you know, the legacy system is amazing. Like I was reading about a guy who said that Bitcoin is Amazoning the banks. And that's absolutely what they're doing. We've talked about banks are a dying breed. I don't think banks are going to be around 10 years from now, even close to the amount that we're at right now.
Yeah, I am tending to agree, seeing the savings in transaction cost. And that's the fat that the banking system feeds off of. Let's face it, the crumbs. Those crumbs are meaningless or relatively meaningless in the average transaction. But then when you multiply them times the billions, they come out to like a major bloodletting. Anyway, and that's it for this week. But we'll be back at the same time and place next week. Just check out Andy's site. Get the free 7-day subscription. What's the name of that site again, Andy?
It's Crypto Gold Central. You'll absolutely love it. And also go to my Twitter handle. It's Andy_Hoffman_CG.
All right. And check out Financial Survival Network. Our Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Andy, we'll catch up to you next week.
Absolutely.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.